You're listening to the Fortnite Podcast with your host, Too Loud TX and Monster D-Face.
What up, what up, what up, and welcome to another episode of the Fortnite Podcast. I'm your host, Too Loud TX, and here with me today, the one, the only, the official Fortnite competitive esports helper himself, Mr. Monster D-Face. How you doing, buddy?
Where did I go wrong? I am now considered the helper. What happened here?
You are the official helper, bro.
I'm the official helper. Yeah, I changed my job title, guys. Apparently, a viewer asked me, "Hey, didn't you help with some World Cup tournament or something like that?" I was like, yeah. You know, I was the delivery boy. Apparently,
I didn't. I wasn't sure if it was like Golden Boy referenced, right? Because Golden Boy taking home the award. And I didn't know if somebody was like, "Hey, Monster, weren't you his helper?"
No, right? It didn't go that far. It was just someone just kind of messing around in chat. Afterwards, he did say, you know, his word choice was a little, could have been better to say the least, but we made good fun out of it and made a great content piece. So that's what it's all about. That's why you guys, you know, follow the social medias. You know,
I was just hoping you're going to change your actual title on Twitter as like, you know, esports helper, Fortnite helper.
No, dude, people probably took me serious at that point.
That's probably true. That's probably true. Well, guys, if you're not checking out Monster D-Face's YouTube channel, make sure you're doing that every week, dropping content just like that. Just good stuff. It's coming out of the woodworks all the time. And like you said, getting more into competitive stuff. So I'm sure you're doing a lot of content built around that too. And so just make sure you're checking out Fortnite or Monster D-Face. Check out all his Fortnite videos. Monster, you got other stuff going up there too, right?
I've been just like mixing it up a little bit. Outside of Fortnite, it's been a little bit of Call of Duty, but I'm back on that hardcore Fortnite train right now. But, you know, whatever kind of floats my boat, we make content around it. And there's another game I've been playing. It's called Noita, which is a roguelike game. So some of you listeners might like roguelikes. We might have that in common.
Is this like tell me real quick about this.
What's
this,
a roguelike?
No. Well, you can for everybody that doesn't know what a roguelike is. Go ahead and tell that, but I want to know a little bit about the game.
Yeah, so like if you guys are unfamiliar with that kind of genre, so like for example, battle royale is a genre. You guys understand what a battle royale is at this point. A roguelike is like when you go into a world or the game, a stage, and you try to make it as far as possible. You're trying to beat the world. But the catch is typically, if you die, you lose all progress and you have to start all over. And then the world generates in a new way. So no two runs are ever the same. And they're typically extremely difficult to complete. With that being said, it's a fun, raging addiction. But I'm really into that kind of genre of game. Noita has just been the recent one that I've been gaming with.
Cool. You've just been playing that on PC too? Is that where
you're on PC. I've been playing on Steam, man. So I've been streaming it on Wednesdays. This is like my variety day.
Yeah.
And as my Monday game, which is my, supposed to be mobile Mondays, but now we're doing like roguelike Mondays. Because why not?
Well, you're probably going to, mentioning mobile Mondays, this is completely off target. And we talked about this a little bit ago on, I think maybe like an episode ago, two episodes ago, about all the stuff that, you know, Riot released. I mean, with all the mobile stuff coming out that direction, is Monster going to have any new mobile games maybe on the horizon?
Dude, it just depends. Like, I get sucked into these mobile games pretty hardcore. Yeah. Like right now, I'm back on the Switch. Like I've been playing Fire Emblem on Switch.
Right.
I'm just loving it. I mean, it's not a hardcore strategy game, but it's a very fun strategy game. So between like strategy style games, some MOBAs are very fun. They can be addicting. And then roguelikes, like if they come to mobile, I'm usually all over it. And I'm the kind of guy that I get sucked into the quick purchases, the microtransactions. There it is. Dude, I fall for microtransactions and the themes and battle passes. I guess we all do, though.
We all buy
skins and battle passes. The same thing, except the mobile games will really get you. So you got to be careful.
Oh, yeah. I'm a sucker for the microtransactions as well. Like, I was one of the original people that like loved League when it first came out, and I was all about the $1.99, $2.99 transactions all day long. It was nuts. All right. Well, we do have quite a bit of Fortnite topics this week. Starting off, Monster, it is 'tis the season, bro, and we got Fortnite V-Buck cards coming. And I want to bring this up for one purpose only. For everybody that listens out there that has children, has kids, or if you are younger and you're like, I thought they didn't sell V-Bucks on cards. This is actually an official thing by Epic now. They actually have a official Fortnite V-Buck cards you can pick up. You can pick them up across multiple retailers, and they sell them in multiple denominations, $10, $25, $40, $100. But is the season. And so if you are interested in getting V-Bucks, this is the only way, I would say, besides purchasing directly in your account, that you should go about getting V-Bucks officially, because during this crazy season, I'm sure we'll see a lot of ads for fake crap as well. So
100%.
Make sure you're paying attention to that. GameStop, Best Buy, Target, Walmart, CVS are who they list as the retailers on their website. So yeah, obviously in the United Kingdom, maybe a little different. Ireland, France, they have like literally locations for all of these places that they sell these cards. So if you're interested, make sure you keep on top of that. Make sure you know what you're actually buying through the holiday season. So
that reminds me, there was a time when like it was all about iTunes. Get me an iTunes card. Or, you know, get me a GameStop card for video games.
Right.
Like Fortnite is so like on top of the world and on top of like, you know, innovation. They released V-Buck cards. I think this is like sort of revolutionary. Dropping your game currency where you can pick it up on mainstream outlets. No other game, even mobile games, nothing's kind of went that far, have they? I guess like Xbox, right? With premium cards.
I think Blizzard has done it before, right? On games specific for Blizzard games. But I don't know about like anything specific as
many other titles besides
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like console games, direct in-game currency. I don't know, man. Not that I know off the top of my head. It could have been done, but I don't know off the top of my head as far as that goes. But I know Blizzard's done it in the past as well. But yeah. I mean, it is a sign of how strong the game is, right? If you can have that item in a store taking up retail space, then yes, obviously it's making some money somewhere. The other thing is we got something new this week as well that we used to be accustomed to. We've talked about quite a few times on the podcast, and that is, you know, kind of a, I guess, if you want to call it, patch notes this week.
Hey, don't shoot them down, all right? They brought patch notes back.
They were vague.
We could take a side on this. I'm willing to say it. Epic, this was good, but it wasn't good enough. We want all the details, man. We still have to fish around for stuff. We didn't get the numbers, but hey, at least we got an official documented patch notes, because like going through those third-party sites of their like clickbait and their speculations on top of people's speculations, it just creates all this, you know, vagueness. So at least we got some kind of streamlined.
Okay.
Context.
Okay. All right. Now that you got your political nice response out of the way, let me step in here. Okay.
It's a true response.
Let me jump in on this. Epic. Let me tell you something. You know exactly what we want. This crap right here, this ain't gonna cut it. These notes right here, this ain't gonna cut it. We will not settle for you cannot, I cannot ask for a chocolate chip milkshake and you just hand me vanilla. Okay? That's not how this is going to work. I want my chocolate chip milkshake. All right? And that's the way it's got to be. I want my good notes back. You know what you gave us before. You can't take it away and then tell me it doesn't exist, because I know you know how to do it.
True.
So Epic, please give me real patch notes. Please love me again, Epic. Love me again.
I am optimistic, though. I think I've been saying this. I feel like they've just been taking a pause, taking a small break. Come 2020, we might see all the craziness that people have gotten a break from. Because it's crazy. Content creators have taken the opposite stance now. Now they're like, the game hasn't changed. This is getting stale. Where's all the new stuff?
Yeah.
But when you get those changes, you get the same people uproaring about, what are these mechs? What are these planes? What is this grappler? This thing's OP. Yeah. So like, what do you really want? What do you guys really want? I would rather the game be in shambles and changing all the time, as opposed to a stalemate, quote unquote, same meta in a sense, because honestly, it's just a little more fun that way.
Okay.
So
my personal opinion, I don't know if you want to weigh in on this at all, but okay, you mentioning that, the game be evolving prior to Chapter 2 as much as it did, all the craziness that went on, all the seasons of different things from, you know, all the complaints throughout the different seasons from, you know the planes, right, and ballers and all this stuff we went through, the game was still on top at all times, like social media wise, right? Publication wise, it was all up there. You come out with this, you stop communicating with us as much, you slow down what we see as content, essentially. And all of a sudden, now it's the opposite side of that, where I personally feel like the game's declining a little bit. Like, popularity is declining a little bit. People are moving on. People are looking at other things. We see this big uprise in Minecraft for the past 2 months, right? Like, all of a sudden, you're losing people. And I think we all can say that, you know, unfortunately, the numbers speak for themselves. We'd rather see people complaining and get more of a game than not have them complaining and be in this situation where we just want more content.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of crazy. Like, I mean, Fortnite, don't get us wrong, guys, is still a juggernaut. Like, it's still the juggernaut. But yeah, you're not wrong too loud. Like, when you say the decline or the loss of interest, like I said, when you start losing the quote unquote content creators, because the game isn't evolving as much, so they're losing out on content to create for the game.
Right.
When they start losing that spark, that's a problem. That's when all their fans, you know, they're going to start influencing people by the masses.
Yep.
And then people start losing interest. So the change is really good for the game's longevity. I think they did a great job this season of just like creating a somewhat balanced chapter. Even like the harpoon introduction, it was a dope item, dope weapon. Yeah. But think about it. They're sitting on so many vaulted key items. Like, they could bring back the heavy AR. They could easily mix up the loot pool again, because they have so many great balanced items already, but everything's like locked behind the wall. Like, where are launch pads? I still, like, I'm losing my mind over the fact that the mobility has been so poor this season. The map is really a struggle to go across, but I find that it's hard to like really connect and love this new map, because we can't even see the map from the air view like we used to with the mobility we had before.
Yep.
And I think a big part of that is the fact that we don't have launch pads. So I'm really hoping that after this tournament happens, the FNCS finals, and we start leading into the new season, we get like a hard, at least loot pool shift, which we were accustomed to, at least on a monthly basis or bi-monthly basis, where everything was shifting. This chapter two, the item pool system has been almost the same the entire way through.
Yeah, and I even feel, I mean, to kind of wrap this back up into the whole patch note situation, like, even if you bring back the harpoon gun, like you mentioned, like I feel when you don't have patch notes to highlight those things, even content creators, even the smaller content creators, you know, the ones that maybe have smaller communities that, you know, obviously when you get a bunch of these people buzzing about something that makes a lot of noise, I feel like maybe they miss out on like, hey, let me capitalize on this immediately till they discover it in the game, maybe two or three or four games down the road in their in their game that day. So like, I feel like it hurts them on multiple fronts, not just from our knowledge standpoint, but also from the content standpoint that can be created around the game. And like I said, or like you said, it's still the juggernaut. There's no question in that. It's still crazy. And I mean, to mention it, one thing that this game can do that no other game can do is have a freaking fishing tournament in the game. Okay,
yeah, that was crazy. Did you participate at all in that?
I did not participate in this, but I did watch, and I did pay a lot of attention to the numbers, which were absolutely insane. But did you participate?
I didn't see a single person tweet that they won, by the way. So I don't know who's the victory, if anyone even found the mythic fish. I knew not to play in this because I had a feeling it was just never gonna happen. The amount of people that I knew were gonna sit there and waste a ridiculous amount of hours trying to catch fish and not get it for the heartbreak. I saw it coming. I've played, like we talked about mobile games at the start, I've tried to like pull on banners with low percentages for these items or characters in games. So I know what it's like to go against the odds. It's a bad thing and it can be an addiction. So that's why I was like, you know what? I don't even want to see the axe that you win or anything. I don't want to know about it. I'm not playing it.
Yeah, so for anybody that's wondering, you basically get this mythic goldfish. Anyone that catches a mythic goldfish will receive a bottom feeder pickaxe. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's really rare pickaxe, right? And it happened on November 22nd at 8 a.m. End of date on the 24th at 8 p.m. Long story short, really crazy. I just, like you said, hours spent. This is what actually amazed me the most.
What's the data?
All right. So Climb Tree 01, Small fry fish caught 9,246.
My gosh.
9,000 fish caught, bro.
Mind you, guys, you couldn't use the harpoon for this little mini in-game tournament. You had to actually fish.
Yeah.
So you throw the rod. It takes several seconds. You wait for the pool to splash, and then you pull.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking many seconds. Multiply that by 9,000. Multiply that by queue times. Multiply that by lack of sleep, headaches, and frustration. This is a gruesome event, dude. It was just a gruesome event.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people caught a mythic gold in NA. 12 wow. people NA caught a mythic goldfish.
Did they list their names?
They did.
Is the guy that caught 9,000 fry fish on that list? That's right. The real question.
So Climetree did not.
Wow.
Did not catch a mythic goldfish. In fact,
sat there, broke a record, and did not get the fish.
Here's number one in most flopper caught, Weird Bud, at 6,578.
Is he on the mythic list?
Not on the mythic list as
wow.
well. All right.
I'm done. See?
Most fish caught in a single match, 113 by Hot Coco. And wow. Hot Coco did not make the mythic goldfish list.
That, yeah, you see, these numbers are crazy, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Last one here. Most slurp fish caught by Trebor, 2,535. Not on the list as well. In fact, bro, I don't even know if the top 10 on any of these lists are immediately jumping off at me. On any of those categories, none of those top 10 are even made the mythic goldfish. So
wait, what's the name of the guy that caught the most floppers in NA?
The one that caught the most floppers in NA was Weird Bud.
He's actually in the Twitch chat right now.
What up, Weird Bud?
A random coincidence.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And just a fun fact, he said he hasn't even got his spray yet for his champion flopper. So
wow.
He's not very happy, but it'll come in due time, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming. It'll come in due time. But I thought that was so crazy, man. Like a lot of time spent, you know, maybe we can get one of these mythic winners. If we happen to find one, ask how much they actually had to fish. I would love to know, like, are any of these mythic goldfish caught like on 10 cast, right? Like, did somebody get lucky and cast once and get it, you know?
So
like,
that
how
was
mad
why,
would that make
like,
you?
That's how I felt. I was like, dude, if I'm going to get it, I'm just going to get it while I'm playing arena and I randomly chuck it in because your odds are that low and there's nothing that's going to change it. It just literally, you have to be the lucky guy.
Yeah.
People. And that's only in NA though. So there's a couple more per region. There was a competition. It was split, but still, that's crazy numbers, man.
It is crazy numbers, and you know, I expect some of the numbers to get even crazier over the holidays as we get into what is now going to be 14 days of Fortnite over the holidays.
Oh, they're doing the yeah. I had a lot of fun last year on 14 days of Fortnite.
I gotta admit this. Like Christmas time for me in Fortnite has always been a really awesome time. I don't know if you remember, but like the very first big iteration that we got besides Fort Nightmares, which was the first Fort Nightmares ever on Fortnite, was more focused towards Save the World. It was really minor things that were on Battle Royale. But as we got into Christmas season, it got even crazier, right? Because we started getting the snowball launchers and we saw seeing all the different Christmas skins that we saw and different pickaxes and everything else that really got carried away. It was a really fun time. And so Christmas for me in Fortnite is always a special time. And I love what they've done over the past couple events where they have LTMs. I love LTMs. You know, obviously I cannot compete at a high level as many, many people as in the show or you do. But I love to enjoy LTMs with my friends, with my son. And these days, these 14 days of holidays typically have tons of LTMs. I don't know exactly the structure they're doing this time. Usually it's every day they have something new. But I'm really excited for it. I can't wait. I know the last time when we had our little theme, it was a lot of fun too. And they had different LTMs every day. So I don't know about you, but it excites me. I love this time of year as well.
Honestly, I want to see the LTMs come back because at least we'll get to kind of mess with the new, or not the new, but returning old items like the chiller grenades and that kind of stuff and see how it interacts on the new maps.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of interesting. And not only that, they always do big patches around this time of year. So again, I've been talking about it. I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful for the lead up of 2020 into the new year. I do think we're going to get a big season patch change, or at least a loot pool change, after the FNCS finals coming up, which is December, I think 7 and 8 that weekend.
So, I mean, along with this news, and maybe to tie on to that, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but, you know, it could be the fact that, you know, Chapter 2, Season 1 has been extended now all the way into early February, they're saying. So
I'm not so happy about that. I understand, like, logistically, if things happen, you got to push stuff back and that kind of stuff. But, right. Like, bro, it's like they skipped an entire season. Like, Season 1 is basically two seasons long, and we're jumping pretty much into Season 3 come February.
Yeah, I mean, do you think, why else besides, you know, the fact that, I mean, I guess it seasons in the week's time frame. I mean, why else is that an issue for you? Why do you see that as a problem?
Change, man. New seasons bring tons of cool stuff. We always get a big map change. We always get like a new theme going into the world. We get great new battle pass stuff, like, you know, stuff to look forward to, helps reignite the grind in people. And honestly, when you announce a new season, we typically get a new FNCS competitive season to go with it, at least up until this date. So them pushing back the competitive or the launch of the new season means that competitive hits a stalemate for 2 months as well, which is kind of big, obviously, for everyone that's into the competitions. Because if they don't announce like what's coming up next, people are going to be stuck in limbo on what they're going to practice for. So, you know, hopefully at the very least, they tell us like, hey, it's going to be a duo competition coming into February. It gives people to practice or something like that. But we can only hope.
I'm curious. This brings up a couple things for me. Number one, is this like a sign of like, are they trying to stretch their content so that it lasts longer? Or, you know, are there content plans running thinner? Like, you think that has anything to do with this?
I don't think they have. Nah, man. I really genuinely feel like the way that they have the world and the culture on grasp, they can really honestly unleash crazy collaborations kind of at will. They can always reignite more Marvel stuff. Right. Reignite. Obviously, you saw them pull Star Wars. They just gave us a touch of it. A little Death Star in the sky randomly on the map. Obviously, gets your skin. So I think as far as from a content perspective, no. Maybe an execution perspective, that could be something that we can't even foresee, right? Like, we don't know what it takes to really hold this and make it stable and stuff. So probably execution could be a little bit of an issue here. But what if you're right? What if like leading into the future, it's no longer like 60-day seasons, it's 90-day seasons, right? And this is going to set that new precedent. It's totally possible that they are going to be stretching these things out. One thing is for sure, they announced World Cup 2. So I'm at least hoping that we get one good FNCS finals for the season and then they launch that World Cup. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see that as well, how that's all going to play out. The other side of me as well makes me just think that are they, because we're having this shift, and I mentioned a little bit about like the popularity aspect of content creators go, but the side of this game that also is very, very popular is the competitive side of Fortnite, which we both love and obviously have a passion for. But is this kind of a sign too of like, hey, maybe the popularity, the more casual gamers gonna have, you know, this set of content, we're gonna stretch it out longer, you know, it's kind of less changes all the time, and maybe, hey, we're gonna put some more focus into the pro scene, maybe they're gonna take that a little more serious, you think? Obviously, beginning with when they give me my patch notes, but from that point, obviously, you think they're gonna be taking it a little bit more serious?
I think we're in a weird place right now where I feel like the lore of the game has been slowed down. We haven't seen a lot of story development as far as this season goes. We don't know where the season's going. We saw the return of, obviously, the cube monsters in the center island, then they were wiped away.
Right.
But where's the story going? We don't really know where the story's going. The only kind of small hints we've gotten as far as lore and story building goes, it's like there's trucks moving around the map. So they're back on that kind of like something's being built or, you know, slurp juice is being distributed around the world. So everyone's preparing for something in the Fortnite world, but the story's taking a sit back. The map changes. Obviously, everything is on slow right now, from competitive to the game, right? To the lore of the BR game. So I don't know where they're going with it. I do think that the lead up into the new year is probably going to come with the bang after they release the next season, though.
Well, I mean, Hopefully so. I don't know if you know much about the whole abandoned match issue that was going on in FCS, but it obviously was big enough for them to put a news, published news article out on their website about, I guess, if you want to call it news, under yep. Fortnite competitive news, but where they address, you know, a lot of the disconnections happening and some of that other stuff. What can you break this down in layman's terms for some people maybe that don't watch FNCS as much and don't really understand what's going on, but maybe like to follow a little bit of the competitive Fortnite?
So I didn't read the entire blog, but I can definitely shed some light on why players would be backing out of tournaments and how that could affect the overall arcing structure. Competitive is just a weird, kind of sensitive, touchy topic in a way, especially when it comes down to the way players compete. The way that the Fortnite structure is set up, it's very top heavy. If your limited amount of games don't go your way, if you don't want the practice, you really don't have to finish your games. You're not obligated to finish your games,
right?
Because you're not getting rewarded per game. It's only if you come out at the end on the top. So as the competition boils down, which is, this is what people wanted. They want a heated structure. So you go through, you know, top 1,000 teams, down to the top 250, down to the top 100. By the time you get there, you're well aware if whether or not your six games are going in your favor or they're not. And at that point, you can just not waste the rest of your 2 hours trying to get practice in and just kind of, you know, call it off.
Right.
And that obviously affects the rest of the game, because then player population goes down and interest is kind of weird. You know, it sets a weird tone, I guess, for everyone else, like how people aren't taking it serious. But I guess you can't really blame the gamers, but you kind of do have to. I think they just have to change the rules a little bit, make it so that, hey, if you back out, you're going to get penalized in other ways. Like, you're not going to be able to, I don't know, compete in the next one or something like that. Hope people have some kind of standard. So when you make it this far, it is a commitment, or there has to be some kind of ruling, some kind of, I don't know. What do you think? Would that be too much? Is that like asking too much? Because we are talking about a young demographic here.
I don't know if it's asking too much. I think if you're going to get, whether it's young or old, I think they have to treat the standard the same, right? Like, they have to look at it as a business and it's set a certain way. And no matter if you make a bad mistake, like we said, you know, we've talked about the whole Jarvis thing, right? Like,
wait, think about this. These players are so spoiled that even in big tournament, cash money tournaments, you're talking about pros walking out at chances of winning 20,000 because their first two games didn't go their way. Like, so obviously the money isn't just going to keep them there, right? I think we, like, the rules literally have to be stepped up a little bit, where if you're going to be a competitive player, there's has to be more standards.
But here's the thing. And this is why I don't know how much of this road we want to go down, but like, this is the reason why you have orgs, like, because they make players sit there and play the games out no matter what.
Yo, that's not even true though. Half of these players are signed and they still do crazy things,
because
and half of these orgs don't check on their players because they get banned doing crazy things.
But that's Fortnite. It's because there's no structure for this, for the orgs to actually implement themselves into the Fortnite world. Like, if Epic and the orgs work together, you would have the discipline. But because there's absolutely no communication there, the orgs don't care, because they're like, whatever. Like, you're going to let your game be run however, we're going to let it run however.
That's just poor professionalism on an organization's part. I don't think the blame should go there. I think they should have full accountability for their players, no matter what kind of backing or support they get.
No, but they're going to back their players to get up and walk away. Like, if the game is crap, if it's crashing the whole time, if Epic can't get it together and you walk up and you leave because you feel like it's at a problem where it's just not the integrity level of the game's gone, then of course any org's going to back their player in that position.
I think it's a double-edged sword, because business-wise, you need your players to be sharp, man. They kind of have to ride through the fire, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I see both sides. And that's awesome.
This is a tough topic to take a side on, because there's you know, clear logic and truth on both ends. But I still think there's more good in forcing your player to do their events, try their best, and get better. And if you get dumped on, you can't blame the game. And this is something that RBK Concealed actually tweeted about. One of the CEOs at RBK, he tweeted about that. He tweeted about players, stop complaining if you're not at the top, because there's repetition, or there's a pattern in the people that are performing at the top, regardless of the state of the game, every single season. And it is the truth. It is the truth. A lot of excuses out there.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about orgs, we might as well talk about this whole Tfue fiasco.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we can talk about that.
I mean, basically calling out to, you know, for everybody in his chat to, you know, DM one of the owners of LG.
Luminosity Gaming.
To drop a player because of the of like, how they were
because of the competition.
Them?
Yeah, yeah, because, and this is ridiculous. This is a little bit of a different topic. That's more along the lines, Tfue is a juggernaut influencer.
Yeah.
And that's like, dude, you have a lot of power. Be careful what you say. You can get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like some people obviously know that, dude, this is Tfue joking around, being toxic and stuff like that. But there's weirdos out there that will take this stuff seriously. Kind of how you said, like, you were surprised that you thought I was going to take the joke and put esports helper in my
yeah,
bio.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
People will just believe you. You know what I mean? So
true. True.
I know better than to say certain things or kind of do certain things. I just think, you know, kind of ahead.
Right.
But like, bro, Tfue did say that. And it was mainly because he's getting contested in spawn. There's a whole thing going on around these players that get really genuinely salty. There was another controversy that happened with Liquid Chap.
Yeah.
Getting super salty because your fellow A-Rap, who's another content creator, plays his landing spot. They blame it on these guys are looking for a drop of clout. Yes, maybe some people are, you know, their only motive is to find fame and trying to beat you at your game or, you know, disrupt your chances at being successful. But hey, guys, the map is only oh so big. And you guys are all famous, right? They have to land somewhere at some point or another. Okay. It's not about clout, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why this whole Tfue thing, where his whole team, Cloaksy and Fiber and Kanata, whatever his name is, all got like super salty, got off, right? They literally stopped playing the tournament. He got off yelling at each other. They're so salty at this whole thing. It literally, like, in front of our eyes, publicly, Tfue's team is falling apart with Fiber tweeting out about his teammate, right? Like, that his teammate's super immature. Like, all this went down. And then it's like, oh, sorry, by the way, blah, blah, blah. And you wonder why, and I'll say it, you wonder why they're not winning tournaments. This is the reason. Like,
you still can't, you can't shoot him down, but I did watch a fair amount of Tfue over the weekend. It's so funny. He kind of, you know, hypocrited on him, became a little bit of a hypocrite towards the tail end. The first half, he was basically, his teammates were blaming the fact, like, oh, they're griefing us. We're getting grief. And Tfue's on the opposite. And he's like, no, we're not really getting grief. Like, we're just playing poorly at these zones. Like, come on, let's get it together.
Yeah.
By the time game, like, 4, 5, 6 came around, he was like, we're getting grief. All these games is not going our way. Like, blah, blah, blah. He hit that tilting factor. And then he went back into his, like, just kind of blaming the game, which, if you, from the outside looking in, from us watching those first several games, they were just playing poorly. So I don't know. This season has been hit or miss for some players. Like, the Liquid boys have been coming back hard. Chap, 72 hours. They've been performing well. Every season is always going to shift things up, and there's going to be people at the top and people at the bottom. And I thought Tfue's been exceptional as a player lately, but it could have just been like he had an off week. And part of that tilt was him just saying crazy things about Luminosity Gaming. You know what I mean? And creating that kind of fire in the community. And there were people that were genuinely salty, and they were tweeting out like, look at Tfue setting a bad example and this and that. Because, you know, it's just one of those things.
I mean, how do you feel about that though? Like, for him to call that out?
Oh, I don't know. I think he's way too influential to tell any org, even jokingly, drop that player. Because if that player gets dropped, you're changing that kid's life. And are you going to compensate for his salary that he loses out? No.
Right.
Are you going to raid him until he gains popularity to make up for what you took away from him? Absolutely not. Things like that definitely shoot down an org or entity in negative ways and kind of force their hands. Sort of like how I really still think E11, as much as I love them, prematurely dropped EMAD during like a little heated discussion that was super trivial. You're talking two kids that are going back and forth. One's being a little mean. Whatever. Checkmate your player and get him in line, right? But now look, right. Now look at Emad. Emad's climbed to the top of the charts. He's on TSM. You drop someone who is like a gem on your team, and they couldn't see that because of social media kind of hyping it up. And that shows that the influence, like Tfue should not be doing those kind of stuff because he can create this kind of flaming influence that will influence someone else's life and career, probably impact them in a negative way.
So, I'm
totally against that.
Unfortunately, I just think it speaks to still how the level of maturity that a lot of this industry still has, unfortunately. I think especially when you put kids in positions that are getting put in Fortnite where they're 14, 15, 16 year old, where they're having thousands and thousands of followers and they're being able to influence people. And like, you have to be very careful what you listen to when a 14 year old is influencing another 14 year old, right? Like, let's be honest, you got to be really careful. And when you get into a position like where you have hundreds of thousands of people, now your influence means even more. And a lot of these people are still young. They haven't been, you know, haven't gone through a lot of the trials and tribulations even you have gone through in content creation, right? Some of them just got lucky and hit it. They haven't had to go through the hard grind as much. So, you know, I that's what worries me the most about it, is just the fact of like, whenever he does something like that, how it, the ripple effect onto other content creators and where they think they stand.
Well, it's that it could have a ripple effect.
Yeah.
A lot of time, you know, it doesn't lead there, but it just can, you know, it really just can. I think another thing is like, you got to understand that they just want to be themselves. And this is just his true self, right? He just he wants to talk his smack and do his stuff. He doesn't really, you know, hold his influence, the standard that he, or maybe he just doesn't quite understand, you know, the complexity behind his influence, and he just doesn't care.
Right.
Either which way, you know, I'm happy that Luminosity, you know, didn't like jump into this whole fire debate and you know, cause more ruckus for it. I think it was lighthearted though. I know like he's obviously not serious. He doesn't want his people to go do that.
Right.
The problem is that they can't, right?
Right. Right. No, absolutely. Well, without further ado, let's get into our last section here. Our tips and tricks with your man, Monsta D-Face. Let's hit it.
You ask, do we have tips? Of course. And do we have tricks? Oh, yes, we do. So listen up.
All right, Monster. When learning how to box fight, maybe some people trying to get into that competitive mode, they're jumping back into it. They're trying to get those basic techniques back down. Maybe it's been a while. What are some of the couple basic things that they need to keep in mind when they're box fighting?
Keep in mind, here's the major thing. There's two types of box fighters. There's two situations you're going to be on. You're either going to be on offense or you're going to be on defense. I'll drop some tips for both. One of the most important and vital skills for defensive box fighting is don't forget that if you're on wood, switch to hard mats. If you're on defense, switch your hard mats. And what I mean, get to your brick, get to your metal. Use that when you're going to go on defense, because wood in the current state is so weak. One, players can see right through it. Two, it's only going to take two pickaxe swings and you're going to go for the 50-50 wall replace, which now in the current game, ping doesn't matter. So it's more likely that you're going to get stomped on. Also, if you're on defense in a box, don't forget, throw a cone or a ramp down, because the new meta right now, the advanced players are going to not go for your wall first. Instead, they're going to go for the ramp first. So while you're trying to place your wall down to make sure they don't take your wall, they're actually just going to throw a ramp in your base right through your face, creating more pressure and more complications for you while you're on defense. Now, a tip for when you're on offense is the same opposite trend. If the player you're attacking in the box, you know, when you pickaxe that wall, or if you're shooting that wall, throw your ramp down. Don't even go for the wall replace. Throw the ramp in his face. That way he can worry now about the ramp, and then you go for the quick wall replace instead. And also, it's just about learning how to do the Kuna Classic. Search that up if you guys are curious. Kuna Classic is basically when you have that ramp in their box, just learning how to hit the quick edit so that you can, you know, kind of catch them off guard and pump them in the face. It is predictable right now, but for starters, just check out some of the ramp techniques, because there's a lot of cool techniques going on in Fortnite when it comes down to box fighting, besides just, you know, taking people's walls and then going for that 50-50. There's actually a way more complicated kind of strats being developed behind the type of staircases you can do in the game. Maybe I need to drop a video on the complicated staircases. That'll be a great video for you guys.
Yeah, that'd be a great one. But you do have a lot of great videos on there as well, guys. If you want more tips and tricks, make sure you're checking out Monster D-Face's YouTube channel, youtube.com/MonsterDface. Check it out there. Lots of great stuff. But guys, As always, and until next time, thank you so much for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. Shoot us a review on iTunes. Leave us a comment on Podbean. Monster, tell everybody where they can see you throughout the week.
As always, guys, thank you guys so very much for tuning into the Fortnite podcast. You can find us at Monster DFace on all social medias, preferably YouTube, because the content's up 24/7. I will be traveling for Thanksgiving. So for all the listeners that love to tune into the live streams, I'll see you guys in return next Monday.
Yeah, get fat on some turkey, bro. What's your favorite Thanksgiving side?
Ooh, my side, this baked macaronis count, mac and cheese.
Baked mac and cheese. You're talking about the homemade, just so everybody out there knows. You ain't talking about the Kraft macaroni and cheese out the
probably
box.
Probably my favorite Thanksgiving side. It's the good one.
You're talking about the homemade with the milk, the butter.
With the crumbs on top of it. Oh,
yeah. That's a good one.
That's good stuff.
I like this corn casserole that has green chilies in it. It's like one of my favorites. Ooh, got like Philadelphia cream cheese, some green chilies. I like a little bit of spice in my food, you know? I'm from Texas, bro. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
I got to have a little spice in my life. So, but hey, everybody, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hope you guys enjoy the show. And until next time, make sure you dance out those kills and boast in those victory royales.